Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
I've been told no more singing. All right, I did it light there, Charge.
You did. Your heart wasn't in it, I could tell. You wanted so much more.
I'm like a dog who's been hit across the snout with a newspaper by one emailer saying, your pitch is so awful. Please, for the love of God, no more singing the Lukukus. It's hard, though.
Sweet white dog, take off.
It's a beauty way to go indeed. Charge, I would never, ever dare to tell you how to run your fantasy empire or that you're wrong about anything in fantasy, but I implore you to reconsider your stance that having kickers is not worth the time and effort. Make fantasy kickers great again. Brett Maher.
Maher, yes.
Maher. Wait, Maher. I've heard it both ways.
Maher.
Brett Maher had an all-time day for fantasy kickers. If you still play in such a league, and for the record, people, Charch has forsaken kickers in all of his leagues. He had an all-time record. It was like a 29-point day because he had two 60-yarders and a third one that he had to redo because of fucking replay.
I had a 50. He had a 60.
Oh, sorry.
A 60 he had to redo.
Right. So 250 plus, which count for bonus. A whole slew of XPs.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Charge, this used to be.
Stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was. This used to be part of the fun part of fantasy is you never knew when your kicker might show up on any given week to put you over the top.
Eh? In ye olden days, Zabe, there was a thinking that fantasy owners needed to be able to like account for all the scoring. So we played defenses and we played kickers. And if your defense scored a touchdown, you got points. And if your kicker kicked a bunch, you got points. And then the problem was, one, that the outcomes were a little random. And number two, the differentiation between them just wasn't that great. And, you know, you were getting like 8 to 12 points from your kicker every week. And it just didn't end up meaningfully changing the outcome of anything. So people were just like, let's get out of this. Let's just forget it. Move on.
Who was the kicker this week had 6 field goals?
That would be like the Bills kicker. I think that was the Bills kicker had 6 field goals.
Bass,
in Detroit. Yes, Tyler Bass.
Bass. Okay, well, so be it. Are you still alive in your guillotine league, in the whiskey league?
I am. I might, and I had a couple of tricky bye weeks to get through, And now, Zane.
Now. Oh, baby. You feel like you work are home out. Free. You sent me this clip from the great Matthew Berry, who is now with NBC Sportsnet. This clip is from what show exactly?
He's got a daily fantasy show, the name of which I'm not positive of. I should know, but okay. It's new. Sports Edge. I think Sports Edge is broadly the name of their premium fantasy content.
Okay. Yes. Available who knows where exactly, right? Because we're in an ocean of content and cable networks and times that it's on. I will say it's a beautifully shot set. Obviously, NBC Sports has got some money behind it. Good for Matthew Berry. I'm not jealous. You're not jealous. We're just saying.
But he's a great guy, too.
Great guy, though. And he's giving your proprietary format, the company you own, Guillotine Leagues, some love, which I think is important here. This is the clip about him and the way fantasy went this week for a lot of people.
And so I have a great team in this Guillotine League. Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, A.J. Brown, Miles Sanders, Michael Pittman. Like, it's Josh Allen. It's a great team.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore, Jay Croucher. You know why? Because everyone that I just mentioned didn't score a touchdown. Yeah. Not one of them. Oh, no. Here, Matt Breida, take a freaking touchdown. I also have Devin Singletary in that league. He's the only guy of that long list of superstars, Devin Singletary. And yet, there's one other guy, my buddy Guillermo. Guillermo has a terrible team. He had to start Devontae Smith. He started Gabe Davis. You don't start volatile players like that in Guillotine, right? You know, it's dumb. It's a dumb move. And yet those two guys scored touchdowns. And so we were going down, and I'm down by 5 points. I'm down by 5 points to lose this guy. I've got a better team than him top to bottom. I just mentioned all those superstars, none of whom can get in the end zone. And so you know what happens? You know what happens?
There it is.
Look at my team. Look at that. DJ Hockenson, if he just catches one of the two touchdowns he should have caught.
He dropped two of them.
Stupid touchdowns.
He dropped two. One in the end zone and one at like the 1 yard line.
Because, God forbid Josh Allen throw more than one touchdown pass. God forbid Saquon Barkley gets more than 30 yards against the Lions. The Lions, Saquon Barkley. Oh, Michael Pittman, Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown. That one game just absolutely tanked me. I thought at least one guy would do something.
And that is...
What a classic Guillotine rant that is.
And he's out. He's out.
He's out.
And
he's
out. Speaking of Guillotine Leagues versus traditional leagues, I saw a tweet from somebody that was like, the Vikings are like that guy in your fantasy league who is getting outscored by a huge margin on the course of the season, but he's still 7-3 because he catches everybody's worst week.
There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that, I'm afraid.
So how are things in the Twin Cities?
No, it's sour. It's sour.
You were flying so high last week on this podcast.
Yes, I was still buzzing with joy at this time last week, and now it's all over. Here's the worst part is we got all these injuries that all worked against us in a big way on Sunday, and now I got to play again on Thursday. Nobody's going to be healthy. All the same people are going to be out. We're not going to get any healthier. And now you got to go deal with one of the league's best defenses. And in New England on Thanksgiving night, I don't like it, Zabe. I'm nervous.
Yeah. So there's a question everything mentality. And the Kirk haters have come out of the woodwork zombies out of the darkness. Kirk's the worst.
It's true. So this little stat has been going around social media today, and it's great. Kirk Cousins was pressured on 67% of his dropbacks, and as a classic area of measure, how much is 67? That Super Bowl 2 years ago when Patrick Mahomes had no time to do anything in the Super Bowl and they ended up losing.
Was that about like 60% close?
37%.
Whoa.
So Kirk was pressured double what Patrick was in that game.
Well, it doesn't matter because he's still no Mahomes. He's a great fraud. Kirk Cousins was getting lucky. So those haters are coming out of the woodwork, not knowing necessarily who would be any better, right? Or who they have any idea.
No.
Like, let's go get him instead.
They never give you that. Like, what the Vikings reasonably could have done to have a better quarterback on roster. Right. They just hate the guy they got.
Why do you think they hate him? I believe it's a combination of nerdiness and, well, two things. Three things. Nerdiness, the fact he was not drafted high, because people want
their... The pedigree wasn't there.
Right. Yeah. People want their priors confirmed. The only real exception is Brady. And then
Prescott a little.
Yeah, and then the third... Well, I think Prescott gets a lot of shade as well, even from Cowboy fans. Not that good.
Some.
And I think the third thing is the religious aspect. There is religious bias that is legit amongst the secular, heathen, sports, dude bro media, and assembled followers.
A year ago, I would have said that nerdy thing isn't that big of a deal. But I had underestimated it because when he was Kirko and Kirk Thuggins and he was wearing all the ice on these plane rides, everybody loved him.
People got over.
Now I can relate to this guy.
And now people are like, are they going to be putting the – I didn't see them put the chains on him after that game, did they?
No, absolutely. Well, the shackles is what they wanted to put on him.
Yeah, well, they weren't flying anywhere, you dipshit, and they lost. Losses happen. Bad losses happen. I would even dare say you can go back and find a bunch of Super Bowl teams that had one complete clunker along the way.
Tampa Bay with Brady had that. God. They had a 38-3 or 38-6 drubbing.
To the Saints on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it.
Okay. Well, then that's a reason. That's a reason to stay calm, right? Except for the injuries and the short turnaround and the nagging doubts that maybe this is all a big mirage.
Dave, it might be. You know, it might be.
But who says the world we're living in isn't a simulation?
No, it probably is.
That's the thing. Do you ever think about that? You really want to get deep into the ayahuasca? Sit down and ponder that this is all a fucking simulation. Everything.
It doesn't make me feel any better in the moment, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I guess
that
not.
None of this is real. Does not. I'm just a sim in somebody's Sim City, right? I'm just, you know, that's all I am. But it still doesn't make me feel any better in the moment.
One of the tweets of the year after last night, Mahomes pulled his midnight magic. Quote, the AFC West spent $1 billion to stop the Chiefs, and it's over for all of them before Thanksgiving. Wow.
We're as all of us together, you know, cumulatively, for everybody looking from the preseason, we all said the AFC West, they could send four teams to the playoffs, right? They could get every wild card spot. It was just, it was going to be a bloodbath with all of these great teams.
Right.
Oh, man. Three of them just basically stink.
When, in fact, it's the NFC East that has a much better chance of doing just that. Oh, the irony. Now, let's talk about Devontae Adams for a second, shall we?
Yeah.
People are saying, talking shit, he hadn't made him better, and it's a waste of money, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, leads the league in receiving touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's not a terrible thing right there. Like, I don't think he's been a big of a bust, as people want to say.
No, I mean, the scoring has definitely been there, and he's been, you know, like, really one of the most constant parts of an otherwise really inconsistent offense and defense. And remember, they've shed, look at all the draft picks that they've shed in the last like 3 or 4 years. Basically anything that had Mike Mayock's fingerprints on it, they've let go. They had nothing to do with that. It has been a grade A disaster from his drafts. And really, because those guys don't go anywhere else and do well, I think Mayock just missed on those things and the organization's been right to move on. Did you see this report last week, Zabe? I meant to talk to you about this last week. The Raiders want to fire their head coach, Josh McDaniels.
Right.
But they can't afford it. They can't have the money to pay two guys, to pay another coach. That's unbelievable.
Because even though the franchise is worth easily $4 billion, right? You can't just dip into that, ladle into that, and go, here, I'm just going to take a bunch of money to go pay off dipshit and tell him to
correct.
Leave. I mean,
correct.
This is not like FTX with Sam Bankman-Fried, which I don't know how much how much of that story have you followed?
Yeah, a fair amount.
Are you in the crypto space?
No, I never got in because so many of them, other than Bitcoin. maybe Bitcoin was had a regulated amount to it, so there was built-in scarcity. The Dogecoin had, they could just keep printing it forever. There was no scarcity. It's you need a trillion of them? Fine, here's a trillion of them.
Yeah.
There was no scarcity built into it. So I'm like, this doesn't feel right. So I never dipped my toe. And I'm sure had I timed it right, I could have made a lot of money, but never did. Did you?
No, I'm cryptoversant, meaning I know just enough to be dangerous, but I'm very curious about it. It's all over my head for the most part. It's high finance and, you know, interrelationships of money and supply and liquidity and leverage that I don't traffic in. It also involves math, which is not my strong suit, but I am morbidly fascinated by it. And what's amazing is just how they created this company that had this mainstream backing from the likes of Mr. Wonderful, you know, from Shark Tank. And the umpires in baseball wore their logo. How ironic is it that umpires, tasked with being impartial and just calling balls and strikes, invested in a company or took money from a company? They didn't invest, but they took money from a company that had no board of directors. None.
Unbelievable.
Right. The bankruptcy filing on FTX, according to this experienced bankruptcy guy, he said, this is the most outrageous dereliction of financial responsibility I have ever seen in my career. And he went through chapter and verse. They had no board of directors. They would approve each other's pay via chat with emojis signaling yes or no. They had no HR department. They couldn't have produce a list of employees. They said they couldn't track deposits as they went from here, there, and everywhere else. It, to me, is a gobsmacking shock that they haven't arrested this fat fuck yet.
That is hard to believe. Now, is he in America yet? Because for a while, he was not in America.
Bahamas, maybe. Although some said he was fleeing to, like, Singapore. Or not Singapore, but, like, Indonesia, because they don't have extradition.
Extradition? Oh, man. Yeah. That's a sign right there.
It's crazy. Anyway, let's get our way. Let's navigate our way back here. So, the money for the Raiders, they can be sitting on a franchise worth $4 billion, but they're cash poor because they've got the poorest owner in the league in dipshit, bad haircut Davis.
Right, because he did not make his money some other way.
No, he inherited daddy's team.
He inherited daddy's team in a floundering market in a terrible stadium in Oakland. And so they don't have the money for it, which is hard to believe. But yeah, you nailed it. It's different. We're having worth of something is not the same as having it liquid and spendable.
Is it stupid, though, to even be talking about firing a coach this soon into his tenure? Because you don't think it's dumb. You think that it's warranted.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me all of your due diligence in hiring him, all of your good hashtag reasons why Josh McDaniels was the guy, you were wrong about those? Is it possible they've lost a bunch of close games, which, by the way, they have?
Yeah.
And you want to see it through?
Yes and no. I'm gonna equivocate a little bit here, Zay, but just work with me, okay?
Yeah.
What if you already know, if you know he's not the right guy, just cut the freaking cord. Just get it over with. I mean, if what you have seen firsthand is so egregiously obvious that he's not the right, you may as well let go. The other part of that, though, is almost nothing changes in season when you change coaches.
No.
It's very rare that the delta suddenly jumps up because you change coaches. So you don't do it for wins this year. And if you want to just wait till the end of the year, you could just go wait till the end of the year. And most likely nothing changes.
Here's what I'm Googling right now. Last interim coach to play a playoff game in the NFL.
Listeners,
think about that. Think. And then email me, zabe@yahoo.com.
You know, it's got to be rare. It's got to be very rare because it's a team in trouble or at least, you know, significantly underperforming. And then the new guy's got to come in and be good. I don't know.
Here's a story from 2020 from Touchdown Wire, part of USA Today Sports. Interim coaches, the good, the bad, and the uglier of interim coaches. And there's just a bunch of different names here and what happened, but I can't think of the last interim guy that went to the playoffs with his team, which would imply that, hey, that was a good move to fire that guy.
Yeah. It's had to have happened, though. We can, you know, it has to. History of the league, you know, it has to have happened that there's been an interim coach that has righted the ship well enough to make the playoffs. Must have.
Yeah. Don Coryell took over in San Diego from Tommy Prothrow in 78 and led the Chargers to an 8-4 record the rest of the way.
Wow. Wow.
They started 1-3, finished 8-4, so that's 9-7.
There you go. Cut the cord early. There's your reason to cut the cord early, if you know.
I guess.
And obviously, so. Don Coryell ended up being obviously a great head coach, Eric Coryell, the whole bit.
The Chargers now, though, I call them the Toby Flenderson of the NFL. For when Michael Scott said to him in such disdain, why are you the way you are? Why are the Chargers this team that is so full of exciting players, a stud quarterback, and now a coach who I think is pretty smart for the most part, a bit too much of a gambler for my liking, and they just seem to lose every close game for the most part, somehow, some way. Why are they the way they are?
Don't you think some teams just like whatever that it thing is that separates great teams from floundering teams?
They don't
have it. Some teams have it just sort of like in the DNA, right? It's just like it's in you.
Yeah.
You know,
we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. And then there's Denver. And then there is this guy who has updated his touchdowns to toilets ratio with one Russell Wilson. This guy is one of my new favorite bits on TikTok. Take a listen.
Hey, we've got big news in the tracking how long it takes Russell Wilson to throw as many touchdown passes as he has bathrooms in his house saga. Today was week 11 and Russell Wilson played the Raiders. He did not have any touchdown passes. This means that his total on the season will remain at 7 touchdown passes. Meanwhile, at his and Sierra's home, they also did not add or remove any bathrooms.
Yeah, touched
this means that number also stayed the same at 12.
12.
Bathrooms are growing ever more confident by the day that they have the season on lock. Congratulations, bathrooms, on a great week.
I don't know if this kid deadpans it on purpose, but either way, chef's kiss, my friend.
It's very good. It's very good.
They have not added or removed any toilets. Well, he says bathrooms. It really should be touchdowns to toilets because it's alliterative. Yes. Touchdowns to toilets.
Right.
Wilson's playing better, but not great. Will he ever get there in terms of what they thought? And I thought he could or would be.
2 weeks ago, I was optimistic that they were going to come out of the bye and things were going to be better. The schedule was very, very favorable. Like, virtually no difficult pass defenses left on the schedule. These last 2 weeks have taken the wind out of my sails, so I got to be honest with you. Did you hear this report? And I don't think we talked about this last week. One of the sports talk radio guys in Denver said that Russell Wilson is calling out Seahawks audibles at the line of scrimmage. And he's getting confused and throwing out Seahawks audibles, and nobody knows what to do.
Rodeo, what is that? All of our audibles are animals. You're calling rodeo. What does that even mean? Right, I mean, right. Tangerine. No.
Right.
No, we don't use food either. Wow. Yeah. Well, so the AFC West, it's still entertaining to me. It still has some of my favorite teams in terms of logos, uniforms, and whatnot. I thought the Broncos Power D helmet with the horse coming out of the middle was boss. Even though it was on the blue shell, which is normally not correct, it's on the yellow shell normally. Didn't care for the yellow on or the orange on orange, but so be it. And I'm kind of a closet Raider fan because it's silver and black. Yeah,
why
not? Everyone needs an AFC Gumar, a opposite conference girlfriend you see on the side, like the mafia.
That's the Gumar.
The Gumar, yeah, like in the Sopranos, where you go to dinner with them, they're on the side, the wives know about them, but they're not going to make a big deal because they know that you're not going to run off with your Gumar. You're going out to have dinner, you know, and go have sex with another woman. It's an Italian thing. It's a mob thing. I believe you should have an AFC or NFC Gumar. It has to be in the other conference, though.
And it can't, has to be other conference.
And it can't be an opponent who daggered you in the Super Bowl, which technically, if I was still a Redskin fan, I couldn't be a Gumar of the Raiders because they beat the Redskins badly in a Super Bowl, and that should stick with me.
Now, can I just go, okay, my Gumar is I want Kansas City. Yeah, they've got the best record in the AFC and Patrick Mahomes. That just seems so fraudulent, right? Why don't you go earn it with Houston?
Okay.
You know, that's, you know, go earn your other girlfriend and work your way up.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Gumars. You can change whenever you want. They're your Gumar. And so, yeah, if it seems wrong to be jumping on the Mahomes bandwagon, who cares? It's not your wife. Your wife is the Vikings. Your wife disappointed you severely this week. All right, let's end on this. Let's end on this today.
Your Gumar team again is?
Well, when I was growing up, it was the Chargers. No question, because they played at 4 o'clock every week. It was Charlie Jones of NBC calling the games. I loved offense as a kid. I loved the lightning bolt logo. I drew it in school on papers. As long as the day was around, colored them in with the blue and the gold and everything else. I loved Air Coryell and
Dan Fouts throwing to Charlie Joyner and Kellen Winslow and Jefferson.
Yes.
What was the Jefferson? It was great too.
Yeah.
Those were great. Those offenses were so fun. He was so far ahead of the time.
Jefferson.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
John Jefferson.
That was a lot of fun. But that's Chuck Muncy as well.
Yes. Yeah. Those are great teams.
I think right now my AFC Gumar is Tua and the Dolphins.
Oh, very sexy.
Fucking love those guys. They are speed burning down there with Waddle and Hill and the running backs. And Mike McDaniel, everybody loves that guy, the thoughtful, young, biracial whiz kid. I mean, I'm a Tua stan, though. See, I wanted Tua to be great coming out of Alabama. Then he blew up his hip, and I was like, oh, God, I feel so bad for the kid. And then he struggled early on, and I'm like, I'm kind of resigned to maybe he ain't it. And now it looks like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it turns out.
Wait a minute. Like, his arm is still a minus. His arm is a minus for QB1s. There's no question about it. He underthrows Tyreek Hill a lot, okay? But that said, he's got a moxie to him, which I really like. I just wish they would go back to the old fucking logo and the old color, which they do twice a year on their throwback weekends.
Yeah, it should be every game, and everybody knows it.
Of course it should. The new uniforms for the Dolphins are the new Coke of NFL uniforms. They should be fired into the surface of the sun and never be pulled out again. They're that bad.
What What do you think about Tua's brother playing at Maryland? Does that kid have anything?
He's pretty good. They score a lot of points. They did against Ohio State, but lost. Talia Tungavailoa, or as I call him, Thria. Get it? Tua, Thria. He's Thria. The third.
Got it. Yeah.
I'll show myself out, yes.
The best jokes are the ones you have to explain.
Yeah, I know. Like the scoreboard joke with the Vikings. I didn't talk about this yesterday. Johnny Sins. Now all of Minnesota knows who Johnny Sins is, right?
I've seen this go by on Twitter, but I don't understand the gist of it. So they put up
what?
I don't really know what's going on with it.
So
I saw they
your Jumbotron operator got duped by a picture of Johnny Sins in a Army uniform. Hold on, and there was a tweet from somebody saying, "This is my cousin Joel. He served in the Army. He is my number one hero in life. I love him so much, and it's amazing what he's done to serve our country." Well, the guy in the photo is a noted porn star by the name of Johnny Sins. And people recognized him right away, and the subtweets were, "Wow, it's amazing. He's in the Army. He's also my doctor, and he's the pool boy as well. And he's the guy at the grocery store. He's everywhere, this guy, Joel." I say, if you can sight recognize Johnny Sins that well, you probably watch too much adult shit. Okay, we got 3 minutes, Charge. Let me put an end to this podcast on a good note, which is the New York Times has decided they're going to try to make the world safe from sports gambling with a long hit piece. I call it a hit piece on a number of outlets, basically tisking them for jumping in both feet on gambling and sports. You read it. What are your thoughts?
There was some merit to it. One of the key things that they're talking about is targeting campuses. This and I've done a lot of research on this in the area of responsible gambling. The demographic that is most at risk for becoming gambling addicts are men under 30. And this is a potential, you know, this is a potential issue. You are still dealing with kids that
teenagers.
Do not know
children.
Teenagers. Yeah, right. In many
17,
cases.
18 years old, full 19. Of hormones and daddy's credit card. But define problem gambler. What's a problem?
The problem gambler are people that are wagering more than they can afford to lose.
More than they have?
Meaning?
But more money than they have.
More money than whatever, you know, for whatever their case is, money they need to pay rent, get food. I mean, the things that are important to them. If you're spending outside of that, if this is not just entertainment to you, if you're gambling to try to win because you think you're smarter than them and you're gambling money you need for real things, that's problem gambling.
So what should these mega companies now do to get customers? Lay off the teenagers, lay off the college campuses?
My preference would be to, you know, you have a whole world, you got a whole nation of potential gamblers, and I think you want to have a very soft and considerate touch when you're dealing with younger, new gamblers that don't have experience sports gambling and don't necessarily have the mental wherewithal and the, you know, the money skills and life skills to, you know, contain themselves. So I think I would not call it a hit piece. I think they actually raised some very thoughtful points.
Even though they themselves purchased The Athletic, and The Athletic is neck deep in all this too. Every bit as much as the FanDuels and the DraftKings and the Barstools and the Outkicks of the world.
Well, I would say even beyond that, just from a journalism standpoint, they should be able to do both, right? They should be able to take their advertising department, should not have anything to do with what they want, what the New York Times or any other, you know, publication.
Yeah, but the Times owns The Athletic, and The Athletic is losing money. And one of the reasons they've partnered with gambling outfits is they want to try to survive.
Yes. You can say sports betting is a little bit like drinking, right? It's here to stay. We're not going to stop. We're not like opposed to it. We just want it to be done responsibly. Okay, and I think this is an area you can get people into trouble with this easier than others.
All right. So would you do an age thing?
I think you should be. There should be less overt targeting of young males in particular for sports betting.
What if it's relentless, but it's covert, not overt? You'll still complain.
You can't stop it.
You can't. Don't you think kids in college know now they can bet legally and they're like hankering to do it? Of course they are.
Of course. It's fun.
I'm convinced that a lot of these companies are wasting their money marketing to college kids because I think they're already in. They already want to gamble. Like, you're wasting your money.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. When a state turns on for the first time and goes legal, Minnesota, never, I don't know if it ever happened here, we go legal, you know, all of a sudden you just gained access to, you know, 3 million new customers that aren't gambling right now, sports gambling.
Well, Minnesota and Wisconsin will be a race to be last when it comes to legalized gambling. So there you go. All right, Charge, as always, my friend, a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving, all right, pal?
You too. Absolutely. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Records are short. No way. Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So good day. Good day.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.